Hi there, family and friends of the house of Jacob Yisrael. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is a study on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This paper is found in the calendar menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Click the drop-down arrow to open the menu.
There are seven feast days. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the second of seven. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the second celebration of the spring holy days. Are we supposed to observe these feast days? Most pastors will tell you no, because they were nailed to the cross and done away with, and they teach that these are Jewish feasts. The churches teach that the Jews are the Israel of the Bible and that the New Testament is about the church, both of which are false. Even some pastors who understand that the Anglo-Saxon peoples of Europe and America are the true Israelites of the Bible do not support keeping the feast days. Here is one such question and answer from a Christian identity preacher. Question: about the keeping of the ancient feast days, should we? Answer:
we hesitate to say much about it, for many of our people believe in keeping these days. We will just say that all written ordinances which were punishment for disobedience were thus translated into physical things, and these were nailed to his cross. There is nothing wrong with getting together and worshiping, and I will tell you what Dr. Swift had to say about this subject, which I also agree with. When Yeshua comes, and if he says that Israel is to keep the feast days as they were commanded to do in the Old Testament, then of course we will keep the feast days. But until then, Dr. Swift thought he was too busy trying to bring the word to Israel, so he did not concentrate on keeping the feast days.
Ella Rose, ERM, tape 052. He's right. These feast days are ordinances which were punishment for disobedience. The symbolism of these feast days are directly related to the path back to the Father which he had provided for us to learn from, to remember our heritage, continue to follow the way, and to be preserved in this life, and ultimately to be delivered into the next. He's wrong about neglecting keeping these feast days, because we always have time to do what we are commanded. And when Yeshua comes and says we were to keep the feast days, it'll be too late, and as a result, we would have missed the mark of that duty, which is the same thing as sinning. You gotta think about this. Scripture states by Yahweh, Yeshua, the prophets, kings, and apostles to keep the feast days. Nowhere does Scripture state that these feast days were to end or have ended. If we are to keep them and you don't, you may not go to hell, but don't you realize you will have to answer for it? If they were done away with, why do you keep Passover? The Feast of Unleavened Bread is connected to Passover, and the other five feasts, which have just as much importance, meaning, and memorial too. If they were done away with, but you still believe we are to keep them, then you are just keeping fellowship and communion with your kinsmen in celebration and gladness. You are honoring your ancestors, you are remembering what Yahweh has done for our people, and you are keeping your traditions and heritage alive. This topic can cause division between our people, and that is not what we want. We believe we are to keep these feast days, but we will not condemn our kinsmen if they choose not to observe them. You'll have to give your excuse to the Father. We observe them because we are the children of Jacob Israel, and this is our heritage. Psalm 119:34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. This presentation is about providing enough information, references, and scripture for you to make up your own mind. Consider this. There are seven feast days. The churches only observe one, Passover, and on the wrong day, Friday to Sunday, for the wrong Jesus, a Jewish Jesus, and usually with unclean animals, because most of them cook a ham on this day instead of a lamb. The food laws were not done away with. All seven of the feast days have to do with Yahweh the Father, Yeshua the Son, and the children of Israel, and are reminders of our family history. The seven feast days are Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf, and Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, followed by the Last Great Day. The gospel message can be found in these feast days. The gospel is the message of the good news, the news that Yeshua Christ died for our sins. But it doesn't stop there. It's the good news of regathering and reconciliation, re-education, and reteaching our people who are scattered and walking in darkness among the nations. When the gospel is preached, its message is to the children of Israel, because every one of these feast days is part of the plan of reunification between scattered, lost Israelites and Yahweh. Matthew 10:6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael." Passover is celebrated as a reminder that Yeshua died to pay the penalty of our sins during his first advent. The angel of death passed over the Israelites' houses that were covered with the blood of the Passover lamb. Romans 4:7, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which reminds us that we must put sin out of our lives. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." It is a reminder that Yahweh took our ancestors out from bondage and idolatry in haste, gave them the law and feast days to keep us in the way, and in remembrance that he chose us and set us apart. If we are covered by his blood, then we must sin no more. Obedience is a daily practice. We must continue to obey the gospel, which is part of the commandments and connected to the feast days. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Yeshua will be returning with his Malachim, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Master Yeshua Christ. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf, and the Feast of First Fruits. It represents the resurrection of Yeshua Christ from the dead. It is symbolic of the first fruits of God's calling and begins the 50-day countdown to Pentecost, which means it's time to go out and witness to your kinsmen of the wonderful truth the Father has shown you. When one responds to this good news, then they are your presentation of first fruits, which can now receive the Holy Spirit, because the gospel is celebrated in Pentecost. When you do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, you receive the Holy Spirit, which is promised to those who obey him. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Trumpets, because the trumpet is a warning and a call to preparation that Yeshua is coming. Time to repent, for the reign of Yeshua is near. Ezekiel 33:7.
So you, O son of Adam, I have set to you a watchman unto the house of Yisrael. Therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth, and warn them for me.
The gospel is celebrated in the Day of Atonement, which is a time to repent and to fast, which means to humble yourself and deny food, water, and worldly things for the day. It's a spiritual as well as bodily cleanse. This cannot be done before repentance and humility. Matthew 4:17. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Tabernacles, because when you have atoned and repented, you are now cleansed and can dwell in the safety of Christ. It is a reminder of when Yahweh dwelt among our Israelite ancestors in the wilderness in tents. It is also symbolic that we will dwell in safety when he returns in flaming fire. Exodus 29:45.
And I will dwell among the children of Yisrael, and will be their Elohim.
Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings, Selah. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The gospel is also a reminder of the last great day of this Feast of Tabernacles, which represents the judgment day and end of this evil age and the beginning of the kingdom age. Peter reminds us that true knowledge is the key. He states the importance of having scriptural knowledge and discerning it from corrupt worldly knowledge. Correct knowledge brings fruits of righteousness. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Christ. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not Elohim chosen the poor of this world, rich in belief, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. These feast days are covered throughout the whole Bible. They are the gospel message within the heritage and set apart appointed days of our people and reveals the plan of repentance, redemption, reconciliation, remembrance, obedience, and salvation. The gospel is a call to repentance, to putting away the old sinner and putting on the new, educated, obedient Christian, and to live according to the way, which includes all the commandments and sacred appointed days given to our people. The gospel is a return to our identity and our heritage, to our Christian way of lifestyle, and to our God. Observing these feast days shows you understand the message and what our kinsman redeemer, Yeshua Christ, had done for us. What else would the gospel be about? Paul kept the feasts, Acts 18:21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if Elohim will. And he sailed from Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The historical records of the continuance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread after the death of Christ. The first Christians continued to observe the festivals, Yahweh's festivals, though in a new spirit, as commemorations of events which those festivals had foreshadowed.
Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, volume 8, page 828.
The Christians, Nazarenes, of Palestine retained the entire Mosaic law, with the exception of the ceremonial, and consequently the festivals. In the Feast of the Passover, the Nazarenes eat unleavened bread.
Ecclesiastical History, volume 1, chapter 2, section 30, by Gesaler.
We see, with the exception of the ceremonial, meaning without a priesthood and animal sacrifices. Now this actually caused a problem for the Catholic Church. First, it shows that until at least the late 4th century, that some who professed Christ still kept all the holy days. But secondly, and more importantly, since the Catholic Church claims that it still keeps a version of Passover, though under the name Easter in English, and Pentecost, then their saint, John Chrysostom, should never have condemned all of the festivals that God gave the Israelites. Yet, he did. On down through history, groups have appeared on the scene who recognized the need to observe God's holy days. During the 12th and 13th centuries, a sect known as the Pasagi were the most concrete example of Christianity to come on the scene. They believed the Mosaic law should be observed and held to the literal view of the Old Testament. They kept the holy days and the dietary laws, but not the sacrificial system. They accepted the New Testament and made it their aim to harmonize the old and new dispensations. They kept the Sabbath along with other Sabbatarian groups in Hungary and in other lands. They were also located in southern France.
Jewish Influence on Christian Reform Movement by Louis Israel Newman, 255-284.
The Magyar Sabbatarians arose among Transylvanian Unitarians, led by Matthias Vehi's followers Andras Eosi and Simon Pechi, who founded the Sabbatarians, 1588, after Ferenc David died in prison and the Unitarian Church formalized on a non-Sabbatarian line. Initially, they believed Jesus to be the Messiah, but a human rather than divine Messiah. Gradually, they passed to read only the Old Testament and to celebrate Torah's feasts, follow dietary laws, and a strict observance of seventh-day Sabbath, but not circumcision. An unbroken chain of Christian Sabbath keepers extends from the Apostolic Church through the Middle Ages, At the height of papal darkness, their light shone high up in their alpine retreats, and their voice of warning was also heard in Eastern Europe, and in spite of advancing Islam, whole bodies of them existed in Ethiopia, India, Syria, Armenia, etc. When the Reformation lifted the veil of darkness covering the nations, not only did traces of these Sabbath-keeping Christians appear afresh all over the old world, but simultaneously with the new life emanating from this mighty movement, Sabbatarians were found in Moravia, Bohemia, Transylvania, Germany, Holland, England, Finland, Scandinavia. Yea, even as early as the 15th century, they had quite a history in Russia. When, in the 12th and 13th centuries, untiring persecutors pressed the true believers far into the Alps, many of them found new retreats in Moravia and Bohemia. Amid the multitudes of a corrupt church, the persecuted few still retained a true idea of the Church of Christ, as Mosheim thus confirms. Prior to the age of Luther, there lay concealed in almost every country of Europe, but especially in Bohemia, Moravia, Switzerland, and Germany, very any persons in whose mind was deeply rooted that principle which the Waldensians, the Wycliffites, and the Hussites maintained, some more covertly and others more openly, namely, that the kingdom which Christ set up on the earth, or the visible church, is an assembly of holy persons, and ought therefore to be entirely free, not only from ungodly person and sinners, but from all institutions of human device against ungodliness. The Exodus and Passover begins. Yahweh tells Moses that this month is the first month of the year, the month of Abib, which is reckoned according to the spring equinox. Yahweh instructed the children of Israel to set aside a lamb for each house on the 10th day, and keep it unto the 14th day, and kill it in the evening, and strike the blood on the sides and upper doorposts of their houses. Exodus 12:8.
And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it.
Unleavened bread was significant, as it symbolized the haste in which Israel fled Egypt, with no time to prepare bread with leaven. Verse 10.
And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire.
This is symbolic of Christ's ascension. Nothing was left behind. Verse 11.
And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Mitzrayim I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Mitzrayim. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever.
Ordinance is a statute, an enactment, something prescribed, an appointment, custom, decree, law. Instructions for removing leavened food products. Verse 15.
7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Yisrael.
What is leaven? Leaven is yeast or any fermenting substance used to make dough or other foods rise or sour. Foods with leaven include most breads, cereals, cakes, pies, crackers, and soups. In verse 15, we see leaven used three times. The first usage is from H 4682, matzah, which is bread without leaven. The second usage is from H 7603, Seor, which is leaven, swelling from fermentation. It also means redundant, which means with excess. The third usage is from H. 2557, comates, and is the thing leavened. It figuratively means extortion, which means to gain by violence or oppression. Leaven represents sin, hypocrisy, which is acting deceitfully. Verse 16.
And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, a high Shabbat. And in the seventh day there shall be a high Shabbat to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, preparing your own food.
Holy convocation is H. 4744, Mikra, something called out, a sacred assembly, that is, a public meeting, the act, the persons or the place, also a rehearsal, a high holy day. Verse 17.
And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your hosts out of the land of Mitzrayim. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever.
The Septuagint has,
and you shall keep this commandment.
Egypt is also a reference to captivity. We are again in captivity today in Mystery Babylon. Verse 18.
In the first month, Abib, on the 14th day of the month, at sundown, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at sundown.
The eating of unleavened bread begins at sundown, Passover evening, until the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day begins at sunrise, but the command to eat unleavened bread begins at sundown and is to be eaten with the Passover meal.
7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Yisrael, whether he be a stranger of kin or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread.
The leaven is symbolic of extortion through violence and oppression, deceit and dissimulation, meaning hiding under false appearance. Leaven represents sin and oppression. Guess what follows Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for 7 days. 3 days after burying their dead, the Egyptians pursue the Israelites and find them celebrating the feast. We witness the first Feast of Unleavened Bread in the pages of the Book of Jasher.
Yashar 81:11, and all the nobles of Pharaoh rose up in the morning, and with them about 700,000 men, and they went forth from Mitzrayim on that day, and came to the place where the children of Yisrael were. And all the Mitzrayim saw, and behold, Moshe and Aharon, and all the children of Yisrael, were sitting before Pi Hahiroth, the fourth station of the Exodus, eating and drinking and celebrating the Feast of Yahweh.
Exodus 13:3. And Moshe said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day you came out in the month of Abib. Abib is the first Hebrew month, the greening month, spring. Since H. 2557 also means extortion, to gain by violence or oppression, and eat, H. 398, means to partake, the commandment is symbolic of refraining from sin, oppression, and hypocrisy. These feasts and services were to take place when they came to the Promised Land, and continues today. The Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread were to be passed on to all the offspring of Israel forever. Verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, And there shall no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. And you shall show your son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Mitzrayim. And it shall be for a sign unto you upon your hand, and for a memorial between your eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand has Yahweh brought you out of Mitzrayim. A metaphorical usage of all your thoughts. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder that should never be forgotten. Verse 10. You shall therefore keep, guard, observe, heed, and retain this ordinance, this appointed custom, in its sacred appointed time, from year to year. If you are an Israelite, you are to keep, remember, and observe these sacred appointed times every year throughout your generations. If you identify as a trans-Gentile, then you don't know who you are, which is why you only keep the Passover and not the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is connected to Passover and is connected to the other feast days and appointed times. These are not Jewish feasts. They are Israelite feasts. The Jews are not Israelites. They are Edomites, and you have eaten their leaven. The churches have taught you to deny these feasts, your identity, and your God. Exodus 23:15.
You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, in the sacred appointment of the month of Abib. For in it you came out from Mitzrayim. And none of you shall appear before me empty.
Empty is H7387, rekam, meaning ineffectually, undeservedly, without cause, empty, in vain, void, worthless. You can't appear before Yahweh just believing. That is empty. You can't appear before Yahweh with Jewish Jesus in your heart or with works done in the name of Jewish Jesus. That is void, vain, and worthless. Verse 16.
And the Feast of Harvest, the firstfruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the end of the year when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before Yahweh Elohim. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
Sacrifice in verse 18 is H2282, celebration, the same word used for feast. Leavened bread is H2557. Ferment, and figuratively, extortion. You can't offer sacrifices of your works with sin or hypocrisy. In verse 16, the first fruits and Feast of Harvest is referring to the Feast of Weeks, which is also called Wave Sheaf and Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Ingathering is the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. The Israelites were stuck in their pagan ways, and their leaven rose again quickly. They pressured Aharon into making an idol, the golden calf, Exodus 32:5. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aharon made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. They had already substituted Baal worship for the feast. This is no different than the churches celebrating Passover without Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the wrong day, and substituting Jewish Jesus as your Savior. After Moses breaks the first tablets of the commandments in anger from their abominable celebration to idols, Yahweh commands him to make another and again gives the people God's instructions, because Yahweh wants them and us to follow them. Exodus 34:18.
The Feast of Unleavened Bread shall you keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out from Mitzrayim.
We observe the 4th of July and other holidays as remembrances of the birth of our once white Christian nation. It should not be hard to remember and observe and be grateful for what Yahweh has done for our people and our ancestors. Verse 23.
Three times in the year shall all your men children appear before Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Yisrael. For I will cast out the nations before you, and enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire your land. When you shall go up to appear before Yahweh your Elohim three times in the year.
Keep these memorials, and we will not have enemies and nothing to fear. Yahweh will guard you because you guarded his appointed days. Verse 25.
You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning.
Yahweh does not want his sacrifice with extortion. Chapter 2 is the law of the grain offerings. Leviticus 2:11.
No grain offering which you shall bring unto Yahweh shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn as an incense no leaven, nor any honey in any offering of Yahweh made by fire.
These Levitical rituals expired when Christ died. Yahweh did not want the priestly offerings with leaven or extortion. Those in authority who were wicked used offerings gotten by oppression. Today, Yahweh does not want our spiritual sacrifices with leaven, extortion, sin, or hypocrisy. Chapter 6 is about the burnt offering for sin. Leviticus 6:2.
If a soul sin and commit a trespass against Yahweh and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor,
then he has sinned, is guilty, and shall restore what he violently took. This is explaining the definition of leaven. Verse 16.
And the remainder thereof shall Aharon and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven or extortion. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the trespass offering.
Leviticus 23:4.
These are the sacred appointments of Yahweh. Even set apart assemblies of the called, which ye shall proclaim in their sacred appointments, in the 14th day of the first month Abib, at sundown is Yahweh's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a set apart assembly of the called. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days. In the 7th day is a set-apart assembly of the called. You shall do no servile work therein.
Since the Levitical priesthood expired after Christ died, these ordinances, rituals, and burnt offerings also expired. Yeshua is now our only high priest. When we offer to Yahweh, we offer ourselves. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, meaning our bodies, a holy priesthood, meaning our pure Israelite DNA, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua Christ. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sacred, pure-blooded, separate, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the priesthood and its ritual sacrifices ended, and since we are a holy nation of priests, we must offer up spiritual sacrifices. What's that? Just believing? No. Spiritual sacrifices are obedience to Yahweh's laws, statutes, Sabbaths, and appointed days, living the true Christian lifestyle according to the way, and not according to the world system and the society. Obeying God rather than men, or church doctrine, which teaches you to obey men and cast out Yahweh's laws and sacred days. Numbers 9:10.
Speak unto the children of Yisrael, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh. The 14th day of the second month, at evening they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
A second chance in the second month for those that were unclean or away and couldn't observe the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread in the first month. It certainly shows that Yahweh does not want these feast days missed. Numbers 28:16.
And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh, and in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten, and in the first day shall be a set-apart assembly of the called. You shall do no manner of servile work therein.
These feast days are for Yahweh's set-apart people, the only people he has called. If you are an Israelite, then you are called. You are set apart. If you don't keep these feasts and do not understand what they mean, then you are not answering the call. You are not observing your heritage, and you are not obeying Yahweh. Over and over, we see these commandments by Yahweh to keep these feasts, and nowhere do we see that Yahweh has changed his mind about them. Malachi 3:6.
For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your forefathers you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts.
Deuteronomy is a repeating of the law to the new generations born of the children of Jacob. Deuteronomy 16:1. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh your Elohim brought you forth out of Mitzrayim by night. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim, of the flock and the herd, in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Mitzrayim in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Mitzrayim all the days of your life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with you in all your coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh, which you sacrificed the first day at evening, remain all night until the morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, but at the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, meaning the temple. And you shall turn in the morning, and go unto your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a meeting of holiness, of set-apartness, to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall do no work therein. 7 days shall you number unto you, beginning to number the 7 weeks, from such a time as you begin to put the sickle to the grain. This is the countdown to Pentecost. Verse 10, And ye shall keep the feast of weeks unto Yahweh your Elohim, with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which ye shall give unto Yahweh your Elohim, according as Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you. And ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant and maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gates, and the sojourning kinsmen, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which Yahweh your Elohim has chosen to place his name there. The place which he placed his name was Jerusalem, where the children of Israel were to appear for these feasts, because the priesthood were the ones that performed the rituals and atonements for the people. This is what was done away with. Now we keep these feasts in our homes, at gatherings, and with our people. Verse 12. And you shall remember that you was a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe and do these statutes. The symbolism is still there today. Egypt is symbolic of bondage. We are again in bondage under the yoke of Esau, because his Jewish children have taken authority and dominion. Why do you think you pay taxes, usury, are burdened by millions of laws and regulations, when Yahweh gave us less than 800 laws? We are not free. We are corporations, with privileges given by Jews. But they cannot take away our obedience to Yahweh, which, when we follow and observe, and do what he commanded, we are preserved and blessed for it. When Josiah became king, he burned all the vessels made for Baal, and burned the Asherah poles, and burned the idolatrous priests. Josiah renewed the covenant and ordered the people to resume the appointed days. 2 Kings 23:9. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of Yahweh in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. Why would they spare some of the priests of the high places? Because some of them repented, but they had to bear the iniquity of their sins and were not allowed to come up to the altar, but they were still required to keep the feasts. Ezekiel 44:10-14 explains all this. 2 Chronicles 30:13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. Hezekiah was another good king who kept the covenant and feast days. This is an example of keeping the makeup date Yahweh established if the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread was missed in the first month.
Numbers 9:10-11.
2 Chronicles 30:21. And the children of Yisrael that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with loud instruments unto Yahweh. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Yahweh, and they did eat throughout the sacred appointed feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh Elohim of their forefathers. Ezra 6:21. And the children of Yisrael, which were come again out of Babylonian captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the nations of the land, to seek Yahweh Elohim of Yisrael, did eat, and kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with joy. For Yahweh had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Yisrael. Yahweh blesses us when we keep his memorials. Instructions for the returning remnant of Judah after Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel 45:17.
And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, and grain offerings, and drink offerings, in the feasts, and in the new months, and in the Sabbaths, in all sacred appointments of the house of Yisrael. He shall prepare the sin offering, and the grain offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings, to make reconciliation for the house of Yisrael. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish, daily the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering.
The Passover is connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why did the churches reject the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Because they are filled with leaven, which is sin, pork from Passover dinner, which is an unclean animal, and they are full of hypocrisy because they follow false doctrine feigned as scriptural doctrine. They want to be covered by the Passover blood of Christ, yet they don't want to put the leaven of sin out of their lives because they believe they are not under sin anymore. Hosea chapter 9 is Yahweh chastising Israel for their whoring from God and for loving the reward they thought they received from their little g-gods. This is the same thing as the churches whoring around with Jewish Jesus and loving their reward of rapture tickets because they claimed they were saved. Hosea 9:5. What will you do in the sacred appointed day and in the feast of Yahweh? He goes on to describe Egypt, which represents captivity, which is why we are to keep Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jeremiah 44:16.
As for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto you, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouth, to just believe and do works in the name of Jewish Jesus, in the cities of the white nations of Europe and in the streets of America. For then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil.
Being ignorant, disobedient, and antichrist is easy when you see no punishment. But don't think for a minute your leaven will be forgotten. Amos 4:5.
And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O children of Yisrael, saith Yahweh Elohim.
Why offer this sacrifice with leaven? Didn't Yahweh demand no leaven with sacrifice? Yes. If you read the context, Yahweh is mocking apostate Israel, just like today's churches mock Yahweh with their ignorance of His word, lack of obedience to His commands, and rejection of His sacred appointed days. Tobit 1:5. Now all the tribes which together revolted from Yahweh, and the house of my father Naphtali, sacrificed unto the heifer Baal. But I alone went unto Jerusalem at the feasts, as it was ordained unto all the people of Yisrael by an everlasting decree, having the firstfruits and tenths of increase, with that which was first cut down, and them gave I at the altar to the priests of the children of Aharon. Even the apocryphal literature tells us to keep the feasts. The Parable of the Yeast, Matthew 13:33. And another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Here we can see a similarity of 3 ages, Adam to Noah, Noah to the first advent, and the first advent to the second advent. Each age fell into wickedness, leaven representing wickedness and sin. Evil infiltrates unnoticed, apostasy rises, and then comes destruction. The yeast, or leaven, of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 16:6. Then Yeshua said unto his disciples, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which is hypocrisy? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees and the churches. Levin is G2219, Zume, metaphorically of inveterate mental and moral corruption intended to infect others.
Hypocrisy, a noun, to feign, to separate, discern, or judge. Feign, to invent or imagine, to form an idea or conception of something not real, to make a show of, to pretend, to assume a false appearance, to counterfeit, to represent falsely, to pretend, to form and relate a fictitious tale.
This is the very definition of the Jews, Jewish fables, and Judeo-Christianity. Continuing with the definition of hypocrisy.
Simulation, a feigning to be what one is not, or dissimulation, a concealment of one's real character or motives. More generally, hypocrisy is simulation, or the assuming of a false appearance of virtue or religion, a deceitful show of a good character, in morals or religion, a counterfeiting of religion.
Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Judah, and are not, but do lie. It must be understood that the word Jew is a leaven of its own. The correct word is Judah, Judahite or Judean, meaning an Israelite of the house of Judah. In Judea, there also lived Canaanites and Edomites. One from Judea is not necessarily an Israelite. The Jews used this confusion to steal our identity, and the whole world bought it, save Yahweh's elect. The Jews are not Israelites or of Judah.
Hypocrisy is the necessary burden of villainy.
Matthew 26:17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying unto him, Where do you desire that we prepare for you to eat the Passover? Feast of Unleavened Bread is connected to Passover. Why don't the churches keep it? Unleavened bread is G106, adzumos, figuratively uncorrupted, metaphorically free from faults or the leaven of iniquity. Luke 22:1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Look, again, Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, together. This was the Last Supper just before Christ was sacrificed. Did anyone see where it says to keep the Passover, but not the Feast of Unleavened Bread?
Yeah, my church said just keep Passover.
Do they realize the bread they break for Passover communion is supposed to be unleavened and eaten for 7 days? 43 AD, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is still being observed. Acts 12:3. And because Herod Agrippa I, an Edomite Jew, saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Easter. It should read Passover. Easter is another type of leaven. Easter is a pagan holiday. Acts 20 verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. This was 56 AD, and Christians continued the feasts. According to Exodus 13:7, as long as leaven remains in the house, a person cannot legitimately celebrate Passover. Removing leaven is a spiritual as well as a physical cleansing. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your boasting is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Unleavened is metaphorically free from iniquity because Christ's sacrifice covers over the penalty of iniquity. The old leaven refers to the Edomite Jew Pharisees and the churches, their traditions and beliefs, the hypocrisy of their doctrines. Verse 8, Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, meaning sin or corruption, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Note that Paul, in an address to his kinsmen, refers to keeping God's feast days. Paul's point is that they are already unleavened. Physically, they removed leaven from their homes in compliance with God's festival, yet they needed to apply the concept to their spiritual house as well, and clean spiritual corruption out from it. You see, the assembly was observing God's feast days. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Paul again alludes to this time period, Passover and Feast of Unleavens, here in chapter 15 when he wrote of the resurrection of Christ. In verses 20 and 23, he refers to Jesus as the firstfruits of them that sleep. This is referring to the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavens, in which day that the first of the firstfruits were offered up to God. This day and its offering typifies Christ's resurrection and ascension, as Paul noted, and the Feast of Firstfruits typifies the resurrection of the rest of the firstfruits, meaning the obedient assembly. Galatians 5:9. A little leaven, or lie, or corruption, leaveneth, or corrupts, the whole bunch. Denominational Christianity is a bakery that sells 33,000 lard biscuits of death. In the female gestation cycle, day 15 is unleavened bread and represents the implantation of the zygote in the uterus wall. If fertilized, the egg becomes a zygote within 24 hours, containing the combined DNA of both parents. During the next 7 days, the zygote must implant itself into the wall of the uterus, where it will be nourished for development and growth. How do you celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Learn what day it's on according to the Hebrew solar calendar.
The link is provided.
Prior to Passover, you must purge your home of leaven products, removing food products that contain leaven. This is the origin of spring cleaning. Here are some examples of items you should remove from your home during the feast.
Accent seasoning, alcoholic beverages, baker's yeast, baking soda, bakery products like bagels, crackers, donuts, cookies, cakes, bread of all kinds, breaded fish, chicken, and meat, brewer's yeast, cheeses and processed cheese spread, ketchup, read the label, wheat thins, Doritos and flavored chips, aged and fermented products, wheat flour with leavening, Lipton noodles and sauce, malted barley products, pasta products, pizza, pretzels, Pringles, ramen noodles. Some sausage contains grain fillers and or yeast derivatives. Soy sauce, stuffing mix, all cereal products that contain oats, wheat, barley, rye, or spelt. Some smoked and cured meats. Please read the label. Some curing and artificial smoking processes use yeast extract. Some yeast derivatives are added to foods for flavor or nutritional purposes. You have to read the labels. The Jews own all the food companies and slip yeast in the food, along with soy, GMOs, poisonous preservatives, and nanotech. And clean out your toaster of the crumbs, too.
Here are some examples of foods to keep in your home during this feast.
All fresh fruits, vegetables, 100% fruit juices, milk, eggs, unflavored nuts, peas, beans, rice, matzah bread, which is unleavened bread, and good quality meats.
How to bake your own unleavened bread. Use half a cup of unbleached organic all-purpose flour, a quarter cup of water, a spoon of honey, a quarter teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of olive oil. Flatten to 1/8 inch thick and cook at 400 degrees for 10 to 12 minutes. Eat some of it every day, starting Passover evening, for 7 days, remembering why you are eating it. Fellowship with like-minded kinsmen, read scripture, be mindful of why we celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, praise Yahweh and his son Yeshua. Now you are ready to continue the feast week with the Feast of Weeks, which is connected to Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It begins the countdown to Pentecost. This Feast of Unleavened Bread study is also part of the Feast Days Study Series.
Links are provided on the paper.